wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ. He is the Savior, the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her, washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He loves his wife, loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, his flesh, and for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. Two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. Let the wife see that she respects her. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you. You may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Bring them up in the training and at this is the word of the Lord. First, I wanted to say thank you all for having me out here. I want to blessing to rich liturgy. It's very similar. I want to say a quick prayer before. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the ability to come gather in your presence. Preached. I pray, Lord, that as I preach your word, pray that you have this to edify. So I'm sure that we could all agree that today's society is very much a mess. We can blame political parties, policy, blame crime rates, culture, and all of these can and are true. I would say, though, that the symptom is an issue. We can safely say that the root cause of chaos in our world is godlessness. One specific aspect, specific symptom, played a role on our society today. Breakdown. Family is constantly under attack on many fronts. The incentivizing single parent households on poverty plays itself out largely fatherless. Also, the pressure educational that in order to be a functioning member of society, once you indoctrinated to go to a university, face a career, prolonging and waiting. There's also the war on scientific truth, name of science, from the LGBT. So they want to tell you that men can be women and vice versa. Sexual revolution, abortion on demand, celebrated. All these things play a role in attacking. But God has a plan for the family. He instituted the family as a sphere of government. You know that God has instituted self-government. Family government he has a plan for. And he formed it in such a way to reflect heavenly truth. Family is a topic today because we are all a part of a family. Most people here are either married, be children, well. So I thought it'd be a prudent passage to deal with. So we're first going to be talking about husbands and wives. We're going to start with the wives first, and we'll probably spend most of the time talking about husbands. And finally, we will, any of you are taking notes, wives, so point one, duties of wives. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. The husband is the head of the wife. Also, Christ is head of the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is Christ, so let the wives be. And down in, let the wife see. Wives are to submit to their husband. What way are you to submit to your husband? As the church is the bride of Christ, we must, as a church, be submitted to our heavenly Christ. He is the head of the body. In that same way, wives are to submit to their husband. Why is this command necessary? Well, it's necessary because it is in our nature to be, want to be. In our natural fallen state, we want to make ourselves the final authority. We want autonomy. We are a law ourselves. When we talk about unregenerate fallen people, true for both men and women, we make ourselves wise in our own eyes. It's my way or the highway. But that just is true. That's not the way. We are accountable to God. When we become Christians, we know that Christ is our head. He is our head, and we also know that it isn't just a list of rules that we have to follow. Submitting to Christ is free. We are released from the bounds of sin, and while there arises occasional struggles, walk the more step with the Spirit, the easier it is to live. Becomes second nature. Jesus had said that my yoke is easy, my burden is light. We see the same parallel of submission ended lives and regards. Now, a lot of damage has been done to the family structure due to the rise of feminism. And while it is certainly true that the tidal waves of feminism have done serious damage, the problem didn't start there. If you look back at the Garden of Eden after the fall, God pronounced his curse upon man in Genesis 3:16. Says, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall. Your desire shall be for your husband and you shall rule. Most translations give this kind of rendering. Thought behind the second part of the verse. Translation. And your desire will be to control your husband. That's the thought behind it. So to put it in perspective, we can't place all the blame on the family. The desire in a woman to try to wear the pants and garden, just as much tradition as the birth pain. Now, saying that is popular. The point is, just as it's fallen nature, make ourselves unto and control, our desire to control butts right up against God, on whom same goes for wives and their husbands. In a woman's nature to desire to control her husband, maybe not overtly, but it is there. Part of the flaw. Just like how proper submission to Christ as our head, or that we are sanctified, so does submission. I know there may be a visceral reaction at the idea of submission. This is largely due to the Bible. If we're going to flesh this, why must wives submit? Verse 32, Paul calls this a mystery. That it's a great mystery about Christ. And I think this has dual meaning. This isn't only talking about the duties that a husband and a wife have one another. Specifically, the verse just before it, when it says, a man shall leave his father and mother, and wife. This is representing our union with Christ. What we have in our earthly microcosm of heavenly reality, our mystical The duties that are laid out for husband and wife, they're critical to that reality. This is a problem for egalitarians. No one in their right mind would assume any authority. And in the same way that Jesus' yoke is burden is light, his authority is not lorded over us, though he is our Lord. There is a real union. Since the two are one flesh, the two complement. Just as our wills, husbands and wives are to be. Wives are also to. True, many wives love their husband, but may not respect him. Wives are commanded to respect their husband. Now, on the flip side of the coin, husband should live, act in a way that is deserving of respect. The Bible doesn't say respect your husband once and only if he's done all the things. No, you're called to respect him because he is your husband. But we are in a fallen world, and Christian men and women, and we are to love. But we should extend grace to one another, love a multitude of sins. So, wives, submit to your husband as one that you are united to, because you are one. You are his body, is the head. The head goes in one direction, and the body goes in the other. Kind of go sideways, right? Doesn't work. Remember, your husband represents you. Head. He represents your household. Duty to not shame upon. Proverbs 12:4 says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. She who causes shame is like rottenness. Listening to this seminar on marriage once, Pastor Doug Wilson, he was talking about men and women often work past and against each other, but we're just wired different. Men and women are different. We often think differently. Nations, men, affected, loved. Men want to quickly give solutions when a problem arises so they can go on to the next task. Women often just want you to listen. These aren't bad things. When we misunderstand what the other person is expecting, get a negative response in return, affected. When we feel disrespected, we often pull back and don't show affection that is the other. And it all spirals up. So practical advice, be patient with them. Communicate your expectations. Love covers a multitude. You mess up, sin against each other, counts. Apologize. Restore fellowship. Remember, you are one. You are united. It could be thought of like this. He, the man, is the lord of the house. Ladies, managers. You do run the show a lot of the time. This in no way his role as the head. When dad is gone, wife is running things. Problem, because your wills should be. So make sure that you're building up, tearing apart that unit. Proverbs 14:1, the wise woman builds her house. So when the husband's at work, wife is running things exactly as he. You guys are unit. There shouldn't be discrepancy. Go to point. Duties of husband. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ, church, gave himself for, that he might sanctify and by the word, he might present her self, glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. So husbands ought to love their own wives and bodies. Husbands must love their wives. That is a tall task. How does Christ love and serve the church? We can get a better understanding of the offices that Christ referring in the Westminster about that. So we're going to look at the ways that man loving wife as Christ loves the church. First, as a prophet, he reveals to us through his word and spirit God's will. Similar manner, men, we are to lead our wives in the way of the Lord. We are to be leading our wives spiritually. This was a big blunder on the part of Adam in the garden when he failed to correct from adding to God's word, disobeying. It says that he was with her as Eve's interaction with the dragon took place. Not only did he let her run with her understanding of God's command, but he in all passivity, okay, I'll die. Or I'll wait and see what happens. This was not him being noble, him being a fool, not leading his wife in step with the word of God. So men, keep God and his word at the center of our mind. We need to be teachers. We should be explaining and demonstrating scripture. We need to guard the garden of our home. Doctrine. Any strange fruit. Next, Christ executed by the one sacrifice, satisfied, making continue. Obviously, not satisfy divine. Nobody can. The principle that can be driven from this, that we are all self-sacrificing on our wife's behalf. Not only for her, but for the whole family. Especially, we are to sweat and bleed by the work of our hands, provide food, shelter. We are to put her before. We are to make sacrifices for her sake. For all matters of practicality, we should never remind them. If we have like a fire for a lawnmower, wife says, I should obviously weigh out pressing. But if you buy the new sewing machine, don't file that away. Well, you know, I spared myself. Don't rub it in. Sacrifice doesn't work. Love doesn't work. When we make sacrifices for our wives, we need to do it. And then we need to forget about it. Forget that we do. Just be. We need to also be making continual session for our wife, for our family. Pray for regularly. And connected to the last point in leading the way of the Lord. Be family work, couple, family, regularly. It is your duty as a husband, father, to always pray for. And the third office that Christ executes. As king, Christ subdues us to himself. He is the head. We are under his authority. With that authority as the head, he rules and defends us, and he restrains all of his and our enemies. The king provides for his people. We are to provide for his wife. 1 Timothy 5:8 reads, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Word unbeliever there in the New King James is translated infidel, one without faith. And in verse 28 and 29 of our text, it says, "So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. Loves his wife, loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes, cherishes it, just as the church nourishes, cherishes it, literally to Jesus, as our King, provides for us food. Jesus meets all of our needs. Husbands, we are to meet our wives' needs. She is to have a stocked pantry. She is also to have clothes and any other basic needs. Jesus, as a King, defends us, protects us. As such, we are to protect our wives. This is our duty, men and husbands. Now, there's a necessary check and balance here. Our duty is to protect our wife and our children, then we men must necessarily not be what our family is from. Just want to say as an aside, a lot of people are hard against what is called patriarchy, patriarchalism. This is largely due to consider themselves to be patriarchal, yet under that banner have committed all kinds of atrocious abuses against those that they are. Now, this is a contradiction to what they are commanding. A husband must not be what he is. If the husband is an abusive tyrant, he is not doing. What he is doing is breaking his covenant. I want to make note here of verse as that he might sanctify and cleanse her by the washing, might present that she should be holy and without. There it's directly talking about what Christ does. Verse 27 reflects the reason for loving our wife in Christ's life. We love our wives in the ways that I did. We present her to ourselves a bride, just as Jesus. More that we are living in obedience to our God-given commandments, wives, or we present ourselves a glorious offering. That one more duty for husbands and wives that I wanted to point out before children in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5. Says, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. Come together again so that Satan does not tempt you. Lack of. So, husbands and wives, you are not your own. Husband, body belongs to your wife. Be respectful. I've won. Which brings us to our. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with, that it may be well with you, may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Bring them up in the training and admonition. Children, you are to be obedient to your parents. Fifth commandment is to honor thy father and mother, that it may be well with you. Promise, and it is a blessing. For obedience, well for you. When you're disobedient, it goes clear through the rest of your life. Obedient, well. Assumed here that we're talking to Christian parents. Christian parents are commanded to raise the kids in the. We are to teach children the Bible, the gospel, Christian life. We are to lead by example. Children are called to be a large part of this obedience is being brought up as a Christian. You're not only parents, you're accountable to God. While the Bible doesn't say things like, thou shalt not jump on the couch, your parents might. You have to listen. Part of obedience. Now the promise, not just to your children, but it's to your parents as well. You are obedient, bless you. Likewise, if the children are obedient, it is. But eternally speaking, if God, there is eternal. This too is a blessing in a parents to know that their children are walking in how we aren't guaranteed to be saved just because we're Christian parents. Family is an ordinary means by which God uses a child. Covenant. Blessings and there is blessings for God uses the in Matthew 28 in the Great Commission says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things commanded you. Parents, you're literally making disciples when you're having children. It is your Christian duty to baptize them and teach them to observe all that Christ has commanded. It's our duty, and it's their duty to obey. Kids, if things seem badly for you, stop and think. Honoring my parents. When intentionally obedient, we are more in line with the Spirit because when we are more in line with the Spirit, we disobedience isn't just the outward act. It is a heart, an attitude of sin and of flesh. When you're in the home under the care of your parents, honor your parents. You do what they ask you to do. Your mom and dad tell you to clean your room. Say why? You also don't tie off and stay. Even if you do clean your room, but you do it with a terrible attitude, that is not honoring to you. You have to do it back to the parents. This is for you. Man and wife are to be united. Said earlier. Wife are one. So child rearing, you need to be on the same page. It goes for just about everything. They're united physically. You ought to be united spiritually as well. They should be united philosophically and politically. There might be slight differences. You should generally be on the same strong spiritual, political, and philosophical will lead to discord and it will destroy. Not to mention would be using for the house divided against its not stand. Must be on the same. This is especially true in regards to parents. Mom and dad have a different idea about how to deal with little Johnny. A wife needs to her husband. They can have the discussion about a proper course of action, but that discussion should not happen in front. The child needs to see a unified front. Mom says no to something, then the answer is absolutely no. Dad says no, answer absolutely mom. If dad says no, child goes to ask mom because yes, that's a pun. Child is trying to manipulate. And I repeat, a house divided against itself cannot stand. It's all tied back to that biblical role of husband. You must raise up the children in the nurture of the Lord. Also, it says, fathers, do not provoke wrath. In essence, saying, don't be a tyrant. It does not mean to withhold punishment. Child is disobedient or disrespectful, they might get angry about it. Chances are there's going to be times that the child gets upset because they're getting a punishment. This is not provoking your child to wrath. Provoking your child to wrath would be doling out undeserved punishment, subjecting them to mockery. Providing your garden of yeses, very few. God provided the garden for us. One no. But we don't mock our kids. We don't give under not tyrants. We have an example of godly mercy and justice. It's in our Heavenly Father. Child rearing is excellent, showing us our failure. God. As a parent, you've probably said, how many times? Then if you're honest with yourself, you're honest with God, think, how many chances does God have to give me? How many times? why we confess, why we have to go to the Lord daily. But when we see our children disobeying us, realize how mercy God has shown us. Doesn't mean this is humbling. Show mercy. Show the love of Christ. Easier said than done. Use every opportunity as a teacher. Bring the gospel. When you fail, repent quickly. Keep short accounts. Demonstrate a repentant heart to your kids. Always seek fellowship. Soon. Conclusion. I want to leave off with a section from Titus 2. Instruction for men and women. And specifically an exhortation to how we in the church. But it's good practical advice. It's wisdom for but it's important, spiritual maturity. Demonstrate. So I'm just going to read this. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Older men, be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, love. Older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, slanderers, not given to much wine. Good thing that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, love their children, chaste, homemakers, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blessed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober minded, all things short, pattern of good doctrine, integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having. So marks of a spiritual maturity for a man is that he's sober, reverent, that's temperate, sound in faith, love and patience. By word, example to the younger men, pattern of good work, sound speech, doctrine. Be men of integrity. Be a man of your women, be reverent in your behavior. Don't be a gossip or a drunk. Love your husband, children. Teach and lead younger women. Treat and chaste, not permissive. Homemakers, good, obedient to your husband. It says that the word of God may not be blasphemed. When men and women don't live in accordance with the commands of them from. So men and women, husbands, wives, go and do likewise. By God that has given us beautiful instruction. When we are obedient to God's word, will for us, our station of life, things go well for us. We are not obedient to God's word. We see the passages about teaching younger men and women things. We can especially tie this to as our children grow, they should be aiming to have these character traits. It is our job not only to our children can spot hypocrisy a mile away. We do a great injustice to our children and our witness in general if how we speak and act in our day best doesn't line up how we are. Action, how you live, truth you confess, doesn't that your actions, how you live, line up with the confess. If it doesn't, then you are living a being a hypocrite and taking the name of God in vain by our character. The biggest way to push our children, make sure that you are who you are, present yourself. Be as you bear the name of Christ. It will go well with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for holy instruction. Guide us all manners of faith. Pray that your word would resonate in our hearts, apply it to all aspects of our lives. That it is all of Christ. Pray, Lord, that you would equip us now as we go out our walls, bear Christ.